Okay, everybody, so today's daf is daf Kuf, and we're holding roughly 10 lines from the top of the Amud, where it says at the end of the line, the Kulon Mishagam Lehem Lebateyan. We were just at the conclusion of this fairly lengthy brisa, so we'll just take a quick look at the beginning once again here on daf Tzadik Tes Amud Beis, where it says, Tana Rabbanan. Remember, the Braisa said, Asora ein chokel ham truman beis agronis. There are 10 categories of individuals that we do not give truma to them in the granary. And who are those 10? The Elohim, Achid Shait of Cotton, Tumta Vadroginis, Evid Vaisha, Oral, Hatome, Venusi, Isha Shaino Yenislai. All 10 of them, we do not give them truma at the granary. When they arrive on the scene asking, please, for truma, we don't give them. Why not? We went through that at some length already yesterday at the conclusion of the shir. However, what the Braisa says at the end, the kulam mishagam lembateim. But what we will do is, we'll allow for someone to deliver the truma to their homes, with the exception of the tamei v'noisei isha she'eno ha'genislai. A tamei is, of course, a person who's tamei. Isha she'eno ha'genislai means if you have a kohen, for instance, who married a grusha or a chalutza, and Rashi said yesterday, the reason why we don't even send them the truma is because we want to assess a knas, a penalty on him for marrying someone he's not supposed to marry. That's where we left off here on the Amud Aleph, the Kulan, going down again about 10 lines in. The Kulan Mishagim Lehem Lobatayan, here on Kuf Amud Aleph, you have that, the Kulan. All of them, we will send them the truma. Kutz mitam venoisa isha she'ena genes. Avo, however, what we see is that an Orel Mishagrinan Leh. That's the Orel that we had, that's one of the 10 in the list. So the question is, why do we go and send the Orel to his home? Why don't we send the Tamei to his home? My Taima, the reason is Mishum the Onis, because he's an Oinis. Oinis means that, unfortunately, Mesu Echov Machmas Mila. The reason why he didn't have a bris, not because he's a bad guy, the reason is because Nebuch, his brothers, passed away at the time of the bris, presumably because they had some sort of
hemophiliac.
They may have been a hemophiliac or something related to that. All right, so he's an oinus. So therefore, although we won't give it to him at the granary, we're going to send it to him privately at home. Tamei is also, you think this person who's Tamei wanted to become Tamei. He was walking down the street, and instead of stepping into the doo-doo that sometimes you find on the street, he stepped on a nevela, or he stepped on a dead sheret. He caused the premature death of the sheret. That being the case, he's also an oinus. You cannot compare the oinus of Nebuch, the person who doesn't have a bris, because his brothers unfortunately passed away at the time of their bris, to someone who became Tamei as a result of an oinus. In other words, the person who becomes Tamei, presumably most of the time, he was a shtickle negligent. If he'd have been more careful as he was walking, as he was going, he wouldn't have been. Not in all cases, a person could be sleeping at night, someone passes away in his building, of course. But under normal circumstances, the average person becomes Tamei, there's a certain degree of negligence. So therefore, we're not going to even send him the truma to his home. By the way, that doesn't mean that he's excluded permanently. He's only coming today. Presumably he'll go, if it's not a tumas mess, it's just a tumas veil or something similar, he'll go to the mikvah. By night he'll be tohar. The next morning he'll be able to go back to the granary and say, Rabbi Yisai, I'm here, I'm tohar, Baruch Hashem. I even have a certificate from the balan that I went to the mikvah, everything is fine. At least temporarily, as long as he happens to be Tamei, we neither give it to him the granary, nor do we send it to his home. Okay, so you want to write the Torah about. Among those that we listed in the Braisa that we don't give was the Isha, and we had a discussion about Eved yesterday. So we're going to talk about both of those. Torah Rabban, no Eved, but Isha, ain't chokel hem truah, the beis ha-gronois, uve mokim shechokim, noisel the Isha t'chila, upeitron oisam yam. Now, as far as the Eved Ein Chokel Hem Truma, this price that goes in accordance with the Mandi Yomar that we had yesterday. Remember, we had a machloket between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yosi, whether you go and give Truma to an Eved. You'll recall that Rabbi Yosi says, why not? even if he happens to be a Suffolk, whether he's a Kohen, because he might be the Kohen or the Eved, he could always say, if I'm the Kohen, give me because of me. If I happen to be the Eved, give me because I'm going to take it back to Rabbi, to my Odoin, and I'm going to show it, I'm going to share it with all the people at home. That was Rabbi Yosi's deal. Rabbi Yehuda said, no. Ein chol ketrum li'eved, elam kin rabbi imoy. And the reason is because in the place of Rabbi Yehuda, they were mala li'yachsin, mala mitruma li'yachsin. If you wanted to go and prove that someone was a Kohen, you would go and say, oh, I remember he used to go and pick up truma at the granary on the farm every single season, so I know for sure he must be a Kohen. Oh, I don't know for sure. Could be an Eved. No, an Eved can't come by himself. An Eved has to come with a Rabbi Imai. So this price that says Eved in Chokalam Truma is in accordance with the view of Rabbi Yehuda. You don't give him Truma Labad. He's got to bring his Rabbi with him. But what about the Isha? So we said yesterday in the Gemara that Isha also you don't give at the base of Gronos, either because she might be or might become a Grusha, or because of Yichud. One means because of Grusha or because of Yichud. The average lady that's coming, especially if she's a married lady, the reason why she's able to go and take and eat Truma, because she's married to a Kohen. But just like you can get married to a Kohen, unfortunately you can get divorced from the Kohen. What happens if she gets divorced? And assuming that she's not a Bas Kohen, she's a Bas Yisrael. And even if she's Bas Kohen, depends on your kids and your kids. Anyway, this bottom line is, she is now divorced. She may no longer be entitled to receive Truma. Oh, yeah. How is the person at the granary supposed to know if she's still married or not? And even if that is not a concern, it's another concern because of Yichud. Because often these granaries were in places where you didn't have thousands of people walking back and forth all the time. And so therefore, there's the possibility that the Yetzirah will get involved and will cause mischief. And therefore, don't give to a woman based on grace. So now this brisa starts off. Isha ein chokin hem truma of the base of granois. And then it continues on b'makim shechokin, but those places where they do give, no isin isha tchila, you give her first, u'poitun oisim yad, and you send her away immediately. Now the obvious question is, Mike Omer, you start off the bride say, ein, we don't do it. Just, you know, it's a big stop sign, don't even think of standing here, otherwise you get a $500 fine just for standing here for 1 month. So ein chokin hem truma, you know. However, what do you mean makim shechokim? You just said ein chokim. What's going on? So it's ma'achi kamer. Makim shechokim maser oni. Ah, there's a difference between truma and maser. The gabi the truma ein chokim at all. Period. But that's how the price began. Isha ein chokim em. Isha evet ein chokim truma based on grant. Period. Fine. What's makim shechokim? Another tithe that one gives the third year and the sixth year when they're distributing maser oni. Then no isal isha tchila. Now, what's the reason? Now, notice the price he uses the expression ube mokoim shecholkin. So mokoim could be in their different minhagim in different places. However, Rashi points out mokoim here means in the privacy of one's home, as opposed to in the goren. If you look at the Rashi meiser oni, well, let's go back to Rashi before that. Hachikom amar. It's about 10 lines from the top of the amud. Hachikom. That's not referring to truma. This is done in the city. It's not done in a rural farm outside the city where nobody's around except for an occasional farmer who's working in the farm. So it's be'er. There are lots of people coming and going, especially in an apartment building. You have a 100 apartments, people coming and going all the time. And noisily, you should clearly give her first mission, the zila, but no tzilamek. And presumably because it's inside, well, here you don't have to worry about a bas koyin or aishas koyin, which is talking about maser oni. So if you have nebuch a lady that is soliciting funds, needs money, and you're giving her maser oni, then that's not given the goyin, next Rashi. Maser oni, and v'schalik begoyin, el betre chabayis, give a sibling, give a losser, amwana. And then the Pasuk says, and so therefore it's in your Sha'orim, meaning inside the city, as opposed to outside the city.
Yes. I'm sorry, it's in an apartment,
so
isn't there the same pitfall as of the possibility of Yichud?
I think your point is very well taken, and the answer is, it is probably a big sign on the door when Maisa Oni will be distributed, so you don't have a person 24 hours a day, person going and ringing the doorbell. During that period of time, presumably there is a long line of people who are soliciting funds. That's my assumption. Or maybe there were big picture windows so everybody can see from outside. But the point is, there are people coming and going. So just her going into the apartment, coming out, people say, oh, I buy some time, sure. Yeah, and it must be in a place in Nukhshash.
What's the lashon of poachman? A poachman is usually in a din Torah, I guess.
Okay, so that's a very good point. So getting back to our Gemara, if you notice, we didn't get to that in terms of explanation.
Oh, I'm sorry.
That's okay, no problem.
Just
everything is fine. So the Gemara is saying is, the Bryce is now internally consistent. The Reish is talking about Truma, the Seif is talking about Maaser Ani. So we sing by Maaser Ani, there, Cholkin, B'makom Shecholkin, in the private house, where there are tons of people coming and going. We give her first, and we let her go immediately. Meaning, as the Gemara will explain shortly, we don't want there to be a zilusa, a zilzil. We don't want this lady to have any shame or humiliation that she's standing there together with 100 men. All of them are never collecting money, and that one lady has to collect money. It's a terrible thing for a lady to have to go around to be choseris al hapsochim for purposes of collecting money. So therefore, in other words, we tell her, you go to the front of the line, we give her her alms, we give her whatever, maisa ani, and we say sayonara. So the poichet over here means that we allow her to leave quickly and not stick around. So two more maiko, zilusa, because of that zilzul, the potential for embarrassment. When two din toiras would come in front of me, one din toira, the plaintiff was a gavra, was a man. The other din toira, the plaintiff was a lady. Now the question is, which one should I listen to first? Initially, in the good old days, I used to go and listen to the Tigra means the argument, the case of the man. Why? Aminah d'mechayv mitzvos. Because since he's mechuyav mitzvos, maybe he has to go and run to davening and put on tefillin and do other things, which a woman has much fewer obligations in that respect. So therefore, I wanted to get him out as quickly as possible. He should be able to return to mitzvos, return to learning, to the daf, whatever it is. However, kimishmanu l'ha. Once I heard about this, that when there's a ma'isa oni line, we let the lady go in front of the line and we send her away as soon as possible so that she should not feel humiliated. Here too, I do the same thing in the Bezdin Shtibel. Sharia Tigra the Itza Bereisha. First, I allow the lady to bring her case. We resolve that case. We make the decision and we say, have a wonderful day. Goodbye. My time in Bishum Zilus again for the very same reason. So we came with the poichin ois in the ad. We let the person go. Poichin doesn't mean chas v'shom potter rechayiv. It just means we allowed them to leave as quickly as possible. Good. Hey, deal out to Rubis. So we go back to the Mishnah of yesterday. And you'll remember that yesterday, if you turn to the top of Tzadik Tes Amid Beis, Tzadik Tes Amid Beis, remember what was the case in the Mishnah? We had a situation of a lady who was an Eishes Chayiv, who also had a Shivcha that worked for her, and that Shivcha was entitled to eat Truma, just like all of them can eat Truma. And at one period of time, both the Isha, meaning the Eishes Chayiv, as well as the Shivcha, both of them became pregnant, and 9 months later, both of them gave birth at roughly the same time. And they were b'machba, or in a maternity ward, or wherever, and unfortunately there was confusion. So the doctors and the nurses eventually let them take two babies, but we're not sure which baby is the Evet and which baby is the Kohen. So as he said in the Mishnah yesterday, they could both eat Truma, that's not a problem. However, in the top of the Amid Beis, they cannot marry anybody. Why can't they marry? Obviously when they're babies, they're not interested, but 20 years later, when they are now older, they want to get married. One of them is a Kohen, one of them is an Evet. The Kohen can obviously not marry a Shivcha, and the Evet can obviously not marry even a Bas Yisrael. So that's what the Mishnah said, Bein Anoisim Noshim Bein Ksheiris Bein Psulais, the top two lines. What they can do is, when they get older, Shichru Zezeh, they can be Meshachar each other. Each one going to give here, here's a Shtar Shichru, which says, to the extent that you happen to be an Eved, you are now emancipated. And the other one does the same thing for the other. So now, both of them are free individuals. However, once again, the Mishnah said, but neither of them now can eat truma because one of them is a ger and one is a kohen, and I don't know which one is which. So that's what we had yesterday. And once the two are now mishukher, then they're free to go and marry any normal bas Yisrael because they're both, one of them is a ger, one is a kohen, so they can marry those noshim haru'uyos lekohuna. They should not go and marry a grusha or a chalutza, a zoyna, a chalola, because they might be kohanim. But otherwise, they're able to go and marry hundreds, if not thousands, if not tens of thousands of the other, not all of them, will marry one of them. But yes, they have many, many options now. Tell us what we learned yesterday. You remember before we got to that second part, Barry immediately jumped up and said, but don't we have that Mishnah that we learned at the beginning, Masechtas Chagiga? What does it say over there? That if you have a person who's a chutzi eved, chutzi ben choyin, koyfin is a rabbi to go and free him. Mishachrim, why? To be able to marry, because the Shevis Yitzar. You have an individual who's a half Evid and half Ben Choyin. How can a person be half Evid and half Ben Choyin? Because previously he was owned by two owners, and one of them decided to emancipate, and the other person decided not to. So he gave Mishtar Shechro for his 50%. 50% of him happens to be now a Ben Choyin, 50% an Evid. But now he's stuck because he can't marry anybody. He can't marry a Bas Choyin because he's an Evid. He can't go marry a Shevcha because he's Ben Choyin. So we have their Mishnah, Beishama Beisil, that Beishama said to Beisil, we're going to be Koifen Oisai, the Bezin is going to force the remaining Odoi to be Meshachrer him, so that therefore he'll be able to go and marry a Bas Yisrael.
Silly question, why can't the part of him that's 50% released release the other 50% of him that's not released?
Because it doesn't belong to him, it belongs to the other owner.
Right. I got you.
So getting back to our case over here. So Barry asked this, since I have that very question in our Mishnah, it's not the exact same case of a half and half, but this person we don't know, is he a kohen, is he an eved? Shouldn't we say the same thing? Since he cannot marry anybody, we should force the either side, the other, to go and free him. And in fact, that's the Gemara's kasha today, Shkoyev Barry, that you asked it yesterday. It says in the Mishnah, if they went and freed each other, then they can go and marry anyway. Why only shicharai? Iboi in iloi boi iloi. That means it's up to them. If they want to go and be meshachar each other, great. And if not, they'll stick us, stay the way they are. Ramai, we should go and force the two of them to be meshachar each other, because lisa shivcha eni yachud, baskoyin eni yachud, and therefore, and the Torah gave mankind the mitzvah of procreation of the Shevis Yitzhara, therefore we don't want to deny them that possibility. Amarova Eima, in fact, go and amend the Mishnah slightly, not Shichroi Zeh, but Koivan Oysan Umeshachrin Zeh Zeh. We force them. If they don't want to, we say, you got to. Anyway, that's what we discussed yesterday. On to the very end of the Mishnah, the last line. V'noisim Olav Chumri Koyhanim V'chumri Yisrael. Now, since the Mishnah had already enumerated numerous Chumri Kehanim, Rashi said yesterday, Mefarish Bigamar. So that's what we're up to today. What are the Chumri Kehanim and Chumri Yisrael? Chumri Kehanim are easy, but all of them have already been enumerated in our Mishnah. The question is, what's the Chumri Yisrael? Lemay Hilchasa Omra Papa. Lemin Chosim Nikmetzes Keminchas Yisrael, V'einin Echeves Keminchas Kehanim. What is this all about? When a person wants to bring a korban mincha in the Beis HaMikdash, what's a korban mincha? It's flour. Bring a flour, you go and have a certain amount, put it into a kli shoreis. If it's a Yisrael that's bringing the korban mincha, then the kohen who's doing the avodah that day in the Beis HaMikdash takes his three fingers and goes and scoops up some kmitzer. Exactly right. The scooping of the three fingers, and then he wipes it off on both sides. That's called a kmitzer. What do you do with the kamitza? You put that on the mizbeach and you allow it to burn. Now, what do you do with the rest of the karban mincha, the shirayim? You give the kahanim can go and eat it there in the Beis HaMikdash. Yeah?
They eat flour, they make it into bread? Or?
Let me ask, what do you think?
They probably don't eat the flour. They
100% right. With it. Exactly. And what do they do with it? They don't make it into bread, they make it into matzah, because you didn't have any bread in the Beis HaMikdash, with the exception of a shtei halachem and the one of four species of the chalas tzeit. Sorry?
The showbread?
The showbread on a regular Shabbat was matzah.
Got it.
Shtei halachem is on Shavuos.
once a year there's a korban called the Shtei HaLechem. That was brought on Shavuos, uh-huh. on Pentecost, which we celebrated about a week ago. I'm sure you remember. I want to show you that I remember as well. Anyway, also during the year, if a person brought a korban toda, toda was a Thanksgiving offering. So besides the actual behemah, he had to bring four different types of breads, if you will. Mm-hmm. Among those four, three of them were matzah and one of them was chametz. But besides that, you didn't have any chametz throughout the year in the Beis Hamikdash. So therefore, you take the rest of the flour, you give it to the Kohanim, then the Kohanim do whatever they want. They can go and use it for making pancakes, or they can use it for making dumplings inside their soups. But just make sure that it's matzah and not chametz. That's a regular minchas yisra. A minchas koyin, the Torah says, minchas koyin, kol tihye loy se ochel. Karben koyin, the same mincha. If it's brought by a koyin, you don't take kmitza, but rather you take the entire thing and you put it on the mizbeach and you burn it. Good. Now we have these two individuals. Each one wants to bring a korban mincha. I don't know if he's a Yisrael, and I don't know if he's a Kohen. Well, what do I do? We're talking about that we already freed him, so he's no longer an Eved. So he's a Yisrael or he's a Kohen. What do you do? So says the Gemara, you make a shtikl pshara. What is the pshara? Pshara means a compromise. I know you know. What you do is you do the kmitza as if it was a mincha of Yisrael. Put the kmitza on the mizbeach. But you do not eat the shirayim, because if he's a kohen, then you're not allowed to eat it. You're supposed to burn it on the mizbeach. So what do you do? Okay, so first you bring the kohenitz on its own, and then you bring the shirayim on their own. So you're going to go and burn them in two segments. First the kmitza, that's burnt, then you take the rest and you put it all on the mizbeach.
Does the mincha of a kohen not get a kmitza?
No. Frank Dimar Ikri Khan, I have a big problem. There's a drasha that the Gemara learns. Which means, if any part of the carbon is required to be put on the isha, meaning on the mizbeach, because the Kodesh Baruch Hu has so ordained, the shirayim you're not allowed to put on the mizbeach. So for instance, we all know a carbon oila, the entire carbon goes on the mizbeach, except for the oil, except for the outside skin. But otherwise, everything else goes on the mizbeach. Fine. What about your carbon chatas, or your carbon osham limoshel? Only thing that you put on the mizbeach is the emurim. Emurim are the fats and some innards. Otherwise, the rest of it is eaten by the kehat. It's not eaten raw. They have the right to go and cook it, just like by your flour. Good. What happens if you have a frimmel? Frimmel means a person who's very, very, very religious. And he says to the Kohen, you know what? This is a korban chatzas. I did a terrible chait. I'm bringing my korban chatzas. Do me a favor. Instead of just putting the aymer on, put the entire korban on the mizbeach. It should be all the kulayt and Kodesh Baruch Hu. I want to show Kodesh Baruch Hu that I'm very sincere in my repentance. That would sound like a good idea. Says the Gemara, it's awesome. You're prohibited from doing that. Why? Anytime that a portion of the carbon goes on the mizbeach, the shirayim, whatever is left, v'al taktiro, that you now let it burn on the mizbeach, has to be consumed by the carbon. So the same thing with gabi, this carbon mincha. By carbon mincha, if it's a mincha sisra, part of it goes on the mizbeach, that's the kmitza. The rest of it has to be eaten. And if you want to put on the mizbeach, you're not allowed to be over Allah, v'al taktiro. That's what you're doing over here. Maybe this individual happens to be a Yisrael. You think you're doing a great idea by taking the rest and putting on the mizbeach. You're not allowed to. Are you about to? If you know he's a Kohen, fine. But I don't know that he's a Kohen. He might be Yisrael. If that's the case, you're not allowed to put on the mizbeach. See, Gemara says, it's an excellent question, and I have two answers. Answer number one. Umr Yidu Barayim Shum Pazi, the Masik Lul Shum Eitzim Kirib Loz. Sanya Bloz Oymer. Right after the passage that we were quoting before, that says, then the next passage says, you're allowed to bring in something gracious, you can go and bring it for Reich Nichoyach. Therefore, the Mizbeach, says the words Reich Nichoyach. The Gemara Darshan, that those words Reich Nichoyach means that it should be a beautiful scent for a Kodesh Baruch Hu. The Gemara Darshan to Reich Nichoyach Atamala about the Malishim Eitzim. In our case that we just spoke about, that you're not allowed to put the shirayim on the Mizbeach, that's if you have in mind, like we said before, because you want it to be a carbon for the Ribbono Shel Olam. No, you're not allowed. However, there is, if you will, a legal loophole. What's that legal loophole? You can go and say, I don't want to put the shirayim as part of the carbon, I want it to add fuel to the Mizbeach. I see that the Mizbeach, the Eitzim are almost consumed. They're going to have to bring in new lumber, new pieces of wood. You know what? I'm putting in this shirayim of the carbon. Let that, it's also combustible, it'll also burn nicely. We'll put it on the Mizbeach. Says Rabbi Lozer, you're allowed to do that. You can't bring it for the purpose of a carbon, but you can go and do the Shem Eitzim. So you can do that same thing over here too. I have this extra shirayim. I don't know what to do with it because maybe it's a coin, maybe it's Israel. You put it on the Mizbeach and you say, I'm putting it on for Eitzim.
But if it's not, if it's no kamitsa separating it from
the... No, you take the kamitsa first.
You still take the kamitsa.
Okay, it's a coin, it's karva'at.
Even though it might redeem the kamitsa also to be meaningless, as it were. If it's a mincha of a Kohen...
I don't think that it machtalia. A mincha of a Kohen does not require kamitsa. But if you did a kamitza and you immediately put the shirayim, I don't think that would ruin the carbon. So he's going to put it in two segments. First, the kamitza garba'atma, and then he's going to take the rest and he's going to say, I'm not doing it for carbon purposes, I'm doing it for eitzim purposes. And with this, we have a resolution. Rabbi Loza gives this eitzim. Rabbanan disagree. So what do we do according to Rabbanan? I have another eitzim. Have a look at Rabbi Loza and Reb Shimon. That case of Reb Loza Reb Shimon is talking about a totally different case. They were talking about a minchas chote. What's a minchas chote? There are certain aveirois, including, for instance, the tam mikdash v'kadoshav, that if a person unfortunately went to the base mikdash when he was tamei b'shogeg, and or he ate kachim when he was tamei b'shogeg, he has to bring a carbon chatas, but not your normal garden variety carbon chatas. It's called the chatas ole v'yored. What does it mean, ole v'yored? Sounds like an elevator.
Yeah.
Ole v'yored means that there are three levels of potential carbon, depending on that person's means. If he's a wealthy individual, he has to go and bring a kizbor seira, which means an animal. If he's not so wealthy, he has to bring two oifalach, two birds. And if he's very poor, Dali Dallas, he brings a carbon mincha. And since that mincha is being brought not as a Thanksgiving offering or for just a regular nedava, he's doing it because it's part of a chet. It's a chatos. It's called a minchas chote. Okay, so the same halachas that typically apply to a minchas chote, to a regular mincha, apply here too. Except that the pasuk says that he uses a very interesting expression. By the Koyin, it says, across the book, Hoysala Koyin Kamincha. This Minchas Choyte will be for the Koyin like a Mincha. Now, on the surface, the way you could learn it superficially is that after you put the Kamitza of this carbon on the Mizbeach, the Shirayim will be for the Koyin like a regular Mincha. Whatever he does with another Mincha, he'll do with a Minchas Choyte. However, Chazal Darsh in the Pasuk a little bit differently, and they say, what happens if the Koyin himself is bringing a carbon mincha? What do we do under those circumstances? So the Gemara says, that the Kohen's mincha is like a minchas Yisrael. Really? Minchas Yisrael, the Shirayim is eaten. A minchas Kohen, it's not eaten. So, says the Gemara, according to Blazer Reb Shimon, what we're going to do is we're going to cut the kamitza on the Mizbeach, and we have a fresh cold
Seltzer,
so you don't have to be matria to go up and down. You don't have to be ole v'yored. We have already. If you think it's only half, it's okay. I'll try not to drink too much more, so you can have all the rest. Okay. Anyway, so getting back to our Gemara. So says Reb Blazer Reb Shimon, if this is going to be both a Kohen's mincha and it's got to be similar to Yisrael's mincha, what are we going to do? I have an Eitzah Toiva. After all, you can't put the whole thing on the Mizbeach because of the Isser of Baal Taktiru. So what we're going to do is we're going to take all the rest and we're going to spread it out on the base Hadeshim. The base Hadeshim that we're referring to over here is the small little base Hadeshim which is next to the ram going up to Mizbeach, where every single day they put a little bit Trumas Hadeshim, as well as they put in when they have the Oyer Venoitza of the carbon, they have to throw it. Anyway, so Zokti Mor Nachmo, Sanibulot Rab Shimon, Oyer Hakoyim Mizkor Le'atzvi Yashirayim, Mispazin Al Beis Hadeshim. Don't put it on the Mizbeach because of the Baal Taktiru, but rather you're going to go and spread it out, sprinkle it on the base of Deshet. Even though the Rabban argued Reb Shimon, that's why Minchas Koytish or Kahan, to Basakrovi, that they're saying here, basically you're like wasting it if you're throwing it down, you're putting it on the base of Deshet. Put it on the Mizbeach. So therefore they disagree. And therefore you'd have to do it with the Lechoyda, have to have in mind for Eitz. But in this situation where you have the suffix between the Yisrael and the Kohen, so if this happens to be Yisrael, you're really not supposed to put on the Mizbeach, even the Rabbanu would agree, you go and pour it out on the Beis HaDeshen, pour out the Shirai in the Beis HaDeshen. Okay, Zuk the Mishnah Baita. Now we're going to get another type of a situation of potential confusion. It's not the case of the Eishes Kohen with the Vlad, of the Shivcha, but rather, Mishalei Shuasa Acher Baalei Shloisha Chadashim V'nisis V'yolda. We've had this case already earlier on in our Masechta, and it's very straightforward. Every time a woman ends her marriage, or her marriage is ended, then she has to wait 3 months before she remarries. Why? Because maybe at the conclusion of her previous marriage, she was pregnant and she doesn't even realize it, and then she's going to go and marry the new husband within 2 weeks, within a month, with 2 months, and then she's going to have a child 7-8 months later, and we'll have a shayla, is this 9 months from the Rishon, or is it 7 months from the Achrayin? We won't know when the we'll know who the mother is, that's clear, but we won't know who the father is it from the first marriage or from the second marriage. Now, how this marriage terminated, we're going to have a discussion in the Gemara, whether as a result of a get, or whether the first husband passed away, but at the moment that's really not relevant to the initial discussion. So Mishal Yishuasa Acher Baal Yishuasa Chadash. She didn't wait. Phyllis said she got married. The older. And she gave birth 9 months later. And we don't know if you do a Bentisha L'Rishayim. Was it a full term 9 month baby to the first husband? In Ben Shiva L'Yachran. Or whether it was a Zibla, they call it in Yiddish, which means a baby that was not Zoche to the Mami, not Zoche to a full term of 9 months.
A preemie?
Today we would call it a preemie, but the Gemara assumes that a Ben Shiva is just as
viable.
Viable. That's what I'm talking about. It's just as viable a child as a 9 month. An 8 month child was not viable in the times of Chazal, but a 7 month and a 9 month were considered to be equally viable. If you remember, we even had a case of two twins. One was born after 7 months, and the other dilly-dallied, stayed behind for 2 months, wanted to go and review Shas one more time, and then came out 2 months later, and then you had twins. One was a 7 month child, and one was a 9 month child. Anyway, so now we have this lady that gave birth, and we don't know, is it from the first husband, is it from the second husband? Okay, so what's the issue now? We're going to have a number of issues. First one is going to be, Hayula Bunan Min Harish Bunan Min Hashay. What happens if that same lady had children from the first husband before he died or gave her a get, and then she had children from the second husband, subsequently, obviously, not prior, because it would be prior, then we know that he's from the second husband. So, but subsequently. Now what happens? Cholsim alei miyavin, v'chein hu lehem cholitz alei miyavin. So now, what happens? Fast forward, this child who's been a suffix all of these years, first husband, second husband, 20 years later, Baruch Hashem, he finds a shidduch and gets married. Everything is great. And they live together happily, happy husband and wife. Unfortunately, had no children. And unfortunately, he passed away. And therefore, he left over his widow. Now, potentially for Yibam or for Chalitza. So who should do Yibam? Who should do Chalitza? Says our Mishnah, that neither the first group of potential brothers from the first husband, nor brothers from the second husband, none of them should be miyabim, it should only be cholet, which means that she would need two chalitzas. Chalitza for one of the representatives of the first husband's sons, and chalitza from the second. Why can't you go and say, one will do chalitza and the other one will do yibam? Because Mamanavshach, as we always say in all of these cases, that Lechoyda, the second one, if it happens to be Israeli, if Amma is fine. And if not, she's already had Chalitza from the first group.
Mutter Lechashuk.
Exactly. So the answer is, because if it turns out that Lemoshel, it's a child from the first husband, and the first husband's guys went and gave The second husband's guide gave chalitza, which was worthless, and now one of the first husband guys wants to go and live. The other, anyway, it doesn't make a difference. The point is that yes, we have two husbands, but we don't know who the father is of this child, but we definitely know who the mother is of this child. So therefore, if someone will be miyabim, he might be miyabim an ach min ho'aim, which is not an ach min ho'av. And we know the din of yibam only applies to ach min ho'av and not ach min ho'aim, and therefore it's a classic case
erva,
of an
erva.
An erva of an eshes ach. So therefore, both sides, both the first husband kids and the second husband kids, can only do chalitza, they cannot do yibam, period. Because one of those that might be miyabim, might be miyabim his own sister or sister-in-law, but from the same aim and not from the same af. V'chein hulahem, the same thing. Yeah, Shelley, you'd like to go and...
You started out by saying this was an issue. Well, of course it was the issue. That was the issue.
The issue was because there was no issue.
Right.
No children. Very good. Thank you very much for clarifying those issues for us. Anyway, getting back to our Mishnah, v'chein hulahem. Hulahem means it. One of them, one of the brothers of the from the first husband, or one of the brothers from the second husband, if one of them passes away, leaving no issue, but leaving a widow, he can also do chalitza, but he can't do yibam, because it's going to be his brother from the mother for sure, but it may not be a brother from the father. And therefore, he's not allowed to be miyabim, and he'll have an erva of an eshes. Okay, that's straightforward. Right. What happens if he had brothers either from the first or from the second, but not from the same mother? In other words, this young lady who, let's assume, became a widow from her husband, that husband left over a bunch of boys, but not from this wife. If it would be from this wife, it wouldn't be a potential Yibam situation. Anyway, so he had a bunch of boys from an earlier marriage, and we have this Shaila child, whether it's from the first husband or from the second husband. So you she was not involved. And what happens now? If one of them were to go and pass away, who choilitz umiyam? Thank you very much. He can go and do a chalitza, and he can go and do a yibam. Why can he do a chalitza or a yibam? Because these are no longer achim min ha'ein, so that's not going to be a problem of eshes ach. And if one of them passed away, he can go and marry the young lady. How can he marry the young lady? Because if it happens to be his yivama, great, so he's mekayim the mitzvah of yibam. And if not, then he'll go and marry an isha who is tam a widow. And Rashi points out that this only works, even though the Mishnah uses the expression of achim min harishon, it really means ach min harishon and ach min hasheni. There's only one brother. Since it's only one brother, if that single brother passed away, leaving no other brothers, so then this suffix, l'rishon, or l'achrin, can go and be miyabin. Why can he be miyabin? The Mishnah, it says, choylitz u'miyabin, it's really choylitz oy miyabin. He has a choice. If he doesn't want to marry, fine, there's chalitz. If he wants to be miyabim, zentait. Because since he's the only guy on the block, there is no other potential yavim involved. So, if this happens to be her husband was his real brother, so then she fell yibim to him. So it's great that he did yibim. And if it turns out, no, that he happens to be, let's say, from the achrei, not from the rishai. And so therefore, he doesn't have any chiv of yibim. So he married her, even without the mitzvah. He'll have the mitzvah of marrying a Jewish lady, an almona that Nebuch is looking for a shidduch. He'll marry her. So no problem. The haim, and now the reverse. And they, echet cholet v'echet miyam. Meaning, what happens if this suffix passed away, and leaving a widow? So who's going to go and do whatever? So you have two groups of potential yivam. You have from the first husband, you have from the second husband. So one of them should do the chalitza, and the second one should do the yibam. Why should the first one do chalitza? Because if you're going to allow someone to do yibam first, maybe this widow is from the other group, from the Rishon or from the Achrei, and you're going to have a nisazika. And if one of the other brothers, who's not the real yavam, we don't know, if it turns out that that's, he's not the real Yavam, so then he's gone and married a Yavam Lishuk, which of course is an Iser. Now they go and marry Yavam Lishuk. So make sure that one group, one representative gives her a chalitza, mamanafshach. If that happens to be the real Yavam, a real Yavam, she's now free from Zika, now she can go and be Nesiyavam through a brother from the other set of brothers. And if it turns out that that chalitza was meaningless, because she wasn't their Yavam, then fine. Then the next guy from the next group will do a real Yavam. That'll be a valid Yavam. So either way, you're covered. Good. So now those were the chalitz issues. From here to the most of the rest of the Mishnah is going to be very similar to what we had yesterday. What happens if the first husband of the Moshe was Yisrael and the second husband was a Kohen, or vice versa? Of course, if the first husband gave her a get, then the second one couldn't be a Kohen. So, fine, so the first one was a Kohen, second was Yisrael. So now, no, you see, Isha Re'uya the Kohen. So this child, we don't know, is he a Kohen, is he Yisrael? We don't know which Aliyah to give him in Shul. So what do we do with him? So, no, you see, Isha Re'uya the Kohen. First thing is, he can only marry a woman that a Kohen is allowed to marry, because he might be a Kohen. So don't marry any Zoynim, Chalola, Grusha, Chalutz. Maybe Metam al-Mesa, we can't be Metam al-Mesa, because maybe he's a Kohen. You can't go and give him Malkus because maybe he's not a Kohen. He can't eat Truma because maybe he's Israel. You can't say, pay Kerem B'Chayim because maybe he's a Kohen, maybe he's allowed to eat it. You can't go and give him a Chelik of Truma on the Kohen at the granary because he might not be a Kohen, he might be Israel. So we already explained that yesterday. What happens if he himself is a farmer and he himself has truma? He doesn't have to give it to a kohen. What he can go and say is, perhaps I'm a kohen. Yeah, you're now going to eat it. Fine. So I'm going to go and sell the truma to my friend the kohen. By dami shaloi, whatever money I get for it, I'll keep for myself. He doesn't get a chelik in the oiris so oila. He won't get a chatas. He won't get an ashim. He won't get any chelik over there because maybe he's Yisrael. There's only nechal lezichrei kohuna. And if you have, for instance, a bechor, don't give it to him. You don't give him cherme kohanim. What happens if he has his own bechor, or he is himself machrim? Don't take these things away. Why? Because maybe he's a kohen. Anytime you go and shecht chulin, at least in the times of Chazal, you're supposed to give three matonis to the kohen. So if he has his own chulin and get shechted, he doesn't have to give it, because maybe he's a kohen, he can keep it for himself. He cannot go and bring this bechor as a carbon in the base of Migdish if it's a tam, because that bechor is only nechal lekahana. What he can do is he can wait until he gets a mum. Now he gets a mum, then he can go and shecht it as if it's like chulin plus, and then even Yisrael is allowed to eat it. So just wait. But no, he says all of chumri kahanim and chumri Yisrael. What would those be? Chumri kahanim and chumri Yisrael. Like we said in the Gemara right before the Mishnah, that if they brought a carbon mincha, it would be a shtikl carbon mincha of Yisrael, shtikl of a kohen, the kmitza we put on the mizbeach, and the shirayim either to put onto the mizbeach, and you have in mind the shem eitzim, or you'd be mispazer at beis hadesh, like we had on the amen al. Okay, ha yishlim kan. What happens if both are kan? In other words, the first husband was a kohen, the second husband was a kohen. Who oinen aleihem behem oinen olav? He will be an oinen for them, meaning that if the first husband passes away, or the second passes away, he will be an oinah. Now, the oinah that we mean over here is that he's not allowed to do any avoida during that period of the aninus. Why? Maybe that's his fault. Maybe that's his fault. We're going to discuss this shortly in the Gemara, that l'choyda, how could the father pass away now? After all, how was the original marriage severed? L'choyda, because the first husband died. So why would he be, in subsequent years, an oinin on his first father? Oh, it didn't end in death of the first husband. Maybe it was a get. But if it was a get, how did
his mother marry the second Cohen?
How was it? So that's exactly what the Gemara is going to talk about a little bit further down in the Yetzir Shem when we get to it. So both he has to be an oinin, not to avoid it when both fathers pass away, both husbands. The same thing is when he passes away, then both potential fathers, the first and the second, they should not do any avoid that day. Who ain't a metam lehem, ain't a metam loy. He should not be metam to them. He might be a kohen, and therefore, and he's zechra kohen because both of them are kohanim. But this person who passed away might be his father, might not be his father. If it's his father, of course, he should be metame. But since we don't know whether it's his father or not, it might be that the father is the other guy. So therefore, ain't metame lehem, ain't metame loy, for the same reason. Who any yorish or his son, if he wants the yarshin from either one of the fathers, so any of the other yarshin will push him away and say, you're not our brother. Brother, go over there. And the same, they'll say the same thing. If he passes away, assuming he doesn't have any of his own yarshim, he didn't have children or anything like that, so then the two groups of brothers from the first marriage and from the second marriage, they will go and share alike. If this fellow turns out to be a grois chutz min yak, and he gives a patch to either of the two fathers, or chas v'shalom, he gives a klola, he curses either of the two fathers, Torah says if a person hits his father or gives a klola to his father, chas v'shalom, the person gets mois yumas, he gets misa. Over here, you can't say he should get misa because I don't know if it's his father. It might be the other guy's his father. So the obvious question you're thinking to yourself is, what happens if he's a machmir? And if he goes and hits both of them, or he goes and does a klola of both of them, what we do then? That's going to be the Gemara on top of the Amud Aleph, where we're going to start in Yet Hashem tomorrow. Finally, the Mishnah says, as you know, in the good old days when the Mishmikdash was standing, the Kahanim were all subdivided into 24 Mishmarais. Each Mishmar did avoid the Mishmikdash twice a year, each time for 1 week. 1 week in the first part of the year, 1 week in the second part of the year. This person doesn't know which Mishmar was his father, because he doesn't know which one is his father. So he's allowed to go and do avoid in both of them. However, if after he finishes doing the avoid, he says, okay, I'm sitting at the table, I want to get a chedek of all the kachim that were brought today, we say to him, mister, we don't mind if you do the work, but you're not going to get any schar in terms of oilam hazeh, oilam avoy, you'll get plenty. Down here we won't give you because maybe you are from the other kohen and not from this one. What happens, however, if both kohanim, both from the first marriage and from the second marriage, both are the same mishmar? Then no problem. And then he can go and get one chedek because one of shachis is either from the mishmar of the first husband or from the second husband. The Gemara is going to ask tomorrow. Yes, what's up there?
It would seem that the same is turned entirely to the issue of both fathers are kohanim. But refers to anyone, whether he's whether either of them are Kohen or not.
You're not allowed.
Kohen, Zar, Kohen.
In this respect, you're absolutely correct. This Makos and Kilosi has nothing to do with Kahanim. Even if he would be Yisrael, the same halacha would apply that if he does a Mak or a Klol against his father, since we don't know whether it's this father or that father, he'd be potter. You're 100% right. It has nothing to do with Kohanim. This could have been said earlier on in the Mishnah. You're right. I don't know why it was inserted over here. That's a matter to ponder further how it got here. But you're right. Anyway, so then Noitu Chelik Echad, on that final piece of the Mishnah, the Gemara is going to ask tomorrow that every Mishmah was subdivided into 6 or 7 Bateav. So what happens if one father typically worked on Sunday and the other father worked on Thursday? So then, how can he be Noitu Chelik Echad? Sunday people say, you go to Thursday. Thursday people say, you go to Sunday. So the Gemara is going to conclude that Ein Echanami, it's got to be that Shneim B'Mishmar Echad Ube Beis Av Echad, that both are working on the same day of their Mishmar, both on Sunday, both on Tuesday, whatever it is, then he can go and get Chedek Echad. Mishmar will see that tomorrow. Okay, getting back to our Mishnah. At the top of the Omid we said that if we have a situation where someone passed away, Echad Choylitz V'Echad V'Yam, right on the third line. V'Heim Echad Choylitz V'Yam, if the Sofik, the one I don't know from the first home, second home, he passed away. So then both groups of the Yevamim, of brothers, both do something, because I don't know whether the widow is a widow of a brother of the first or of the second group. So one should do a chalitza and the other one should go and do a yibum. And the Gemara said this already before. Davke michlitz v'ad yibum, make sure it's chalitza first and then the yibum. Abibum reish aloi, but don't do yibum first. Because potentially the one that's doing yibum, maybe she is supposed to have yibum chalitza from the other group and not from this group. And if she's going to go and have yibum from this fellow, they may not be yavam and yibum. It might just be yavam and yishuk. From here until the bottom of the Amid, we're going to face the Shaila that Shmuel raises. Omishmul, Asara Kehanim Oindim. You have 10 Kehanim standing together. Upir Shechemihem, and one of the 10 Kehanim left the group. And Uboal, and he went and lived with a young lady. The point of the 10 Kehanim, Lav Davka, that they're standing together, could be the Gemara is borrowing this from the case of the Teisha Chanoyas type of situation. The point is, you got 10 Kehanim, one of them went and lived with a young lady, Biznus, without the benefit of Kiddushin. Not a nice thing to do. She became pregnant, and 9 months later, she gave birth to a healthy young boy. That boy is called a Shtuki. Shtuki, normally the Gemara says in other places, as the Gemara says over here, whenever the boy is walking in the street together with his mother, and someone says to the boy, tell me, who is your father? So the mother says to the boy, Shtika, don't say anything. So Gemara borrows that Shtuki for other halachas, as you'll see in a moment. So they vlad, that child, since I don't know who the father is, it's one of the ten kahanim, I know it's a kohen, more than that I don't know, so vlad is a Shtuki. What are you telling me? Not just telling me his title, you're telling me halacha. Are you telling me that years to come, when one of these ten kehanim pass away, and this shtuki comes and says, I'd like to have a chelik, no, of course he's not going to get. Mishaskanoisim means we silence him, we're not going to give him. Shita miyadin avu amani. Any one of the ten, all the yorshim are going to go and say, yeah, prove that you're our brother. You might be from kohen 1, kohen 2, kohen 3, kohen 4. The ten potential kehanim. Elosh mishaskanoisim medin kohuna. We're not allowed to go and do avoida in the Beis HaMikdash. He's not allowed to do avoida in the Beis HaMikdash. Why not? He's a kohen. There's no question he's a kohen. I just don't know which. My time on the cross says in the pasuk when the Kodesh Baruch Hu gave the mitzvah kahuna to the kahanim, bris kahunas oila. What is the lashon of ulazaroi achrav? Yuchas Achra means that we know exactly each Kohen from whom he is descended, who his father is, who his mother is. We have to know clear cut his Yichus.
So when she had a relationship with somebody, what if we found out that that somebody is a Kohen?
If we don't know for sure who the father is, then he cannot go and do Avodah Mitzvah. But
if she had relations with a Kohen but not with through Kiddushin, does this child...
The question is, would we believe her that this happens to be the man? Because if
let's say it's a known, whatever, it was known that
if we know for sure that happens to be father, based on this halach of Shmuel, he would be able to go and do the avodah, because of Miyuchasaka, we know exactly who the father is.
So what things would he not, meaning that a child that was brought about not through Kiddushin, but
out of
the
weather.
Parents are Kohanim,
right.
Is there anything that the kid is not allowed to, or meaning is there any of the perks of the Kohanim that child that came out of wedlock is not allowed to partake in?
And we know who the father is.
Yes.
Based on today's Gemara, he is not excluded from any of the perks, as you refer to.
Okay.
It. Good. There may be another Gemara that does cut down or limit it. But based on today's Gemara, that would not
but
be
it came from a chala, a chal, meaning the kid if came it, from a chala.
If he's a chala, that's a different story. That's not a cholol is not allowed to participate in anything. He becomes like a Yisrael. Mm-hmm. So let's say if you have a kohen who went and lived with a grusha,
right.
And they had a baby,
right.
That child is a cholol.
Even if he did it through kiddushin with the grusha,
even if holy matrimony,
okay,
1,000 people there, they had the nicest and the most expert.
Right.
Masada Kiddushin. He probably would try to convince them not to get married because it's an Issa, they're not allowed to get married.
Right.
But if they did get married and they produced a child, that child would be a Cholol, and the Cholol is just like a regular Zor, a regular Yisor.
Gotcha.
So he would not be able to go and eat Truma.
Here, at a wedlock, both are Kohanim, he's still...
He doesn't even have to be both Kohanim. If he happens to be a Kohen and she happens to be a Bas Yisrael, and she is not a Grusha, not a Cholol, and not a Zayin, and
But doesn't the fact that she lives out of wedlock make her into a Zoner?
Okay, if it's just a one-time thing, you're referring to Reb Lozer that we had early on in the Sechta, that says, Afilu, Ponei Habal Penuya Havlad Zayin. Yeah, but she's called the Zoyin in the
Vlad.
Yeah, well, I don't know if the Vlad would mean Mamzer, but she is a Zoyin, and therefore the child would be a Chol. However, we don't hold like that. That's a very, very
habitual.
Only one view like that. Everybody else is a mitzvah. And the Gemara says a couple of times, we do not halacha, we don't not pass like that. Anyway, so getting back to our Gemara now. We don't know who the father is. He cannot do the avice. This is Shmuel's halacha. If we don't know who the father is, no avice. Maskler Papa. And we ask the God of Ram. Avram Avinu just said, in the posse. Kodesh Baruch Hu speaks to Avram. So now we use virtually the same term. Here we said Uzari Acharov. Here's Uzari Acharecha. Over there, what is that Kodesh Baruch Hu telling to Avram Avinu? He's telling you that your children, if they're not miyuchasim, they can't do the avodah in the Beis Hamikdash. Avram is not a kohen, so what's this going on? So it's parallel to the kuna situation. What it's saying is, be very careful about your zera, that the zera should be pure miyuchas to yid. Because if somehow you're going to have a goy mixed in other words, you're going to have an avedes kechom, a goy tough, a female Gentile, or a shivcha, who's going to go and marry a Yisrael, and they're going to have a child, that child is not going to be Zarecha Acharecha, and therefore not only won't be able to do Avodah Beis Hamikdash, won't be a Jew at all. Yes, sir?
But don't we have in Bereishis that Abraham, after the whole, married women afterwards and had kids and stuff? Right, so were they considered Yidden, or...
You're getting into very esoteric types of topics. No, Chas v'Shalom, you don't have to be sorry. We know this is Avraham Avinu was Mekayim Kol HaTorah Kula. But exactly what that means is, partially
shot. It says Lazar.
I understand. The assumption is that Keturah was Miskayer, and therefore all the children were Jews. Jews in that time, it's difficult to talk about that, because really, Jews only were created at Har Sinai. At least the Ovis Kedoshim were makbid on all the halachas, so assuming that she was a giyaris, so then the children are wonderful kids, and then we'd have to make sure that they shouldn't go and marry a Vedas Chom or a Shifcha. Or, maybe this is talking about Avraham Avinu, we're going to go and give you a 200-year moratorium, or whenever, until Har Sinai, and then after Har Sinai, from that point on, Zarech HaChrecha, make sure that none of the Jewish kids go and marry Goyish girls, because then the children are not going to be Zarech HaChrecha. It's going to be either an Eved or it's going to be a Goy.
So those offspring would not be considered Zarech HaChrecha.
Exactly right. Frank Dimara Meisvei. So we're going to ask now a Kasha on Shmuel. What's the Kasha? Rishon Oli is going God. Now this is not our Gemara over here. This is talking about a Yibum situation where Chas v'Shalom, a Kohen, passed away and his Yivoma was afterwards Nesiabing through the Yovam, who is a brother of the Kohen, and therefore also a Kohen. Again, she should have waited 3 months. She did not. The child that's born, I don't know whether is a child of the Mess or is a child of the Yovam, but both of them were Kahana. So there's nothing wrong vis-a-vis the child.
Yes.
And therefore, Shtukimara, Rishon Oil, is Kohen Gadol. That first one can be a Kohen Gadol because of no problem. He is either a Kohen for me or a Kohen for them. When we say that he's a Kohen Gadol, it doesn't just mean that he sits there in the corner with wearing the Shemoyin of a God, and that means he's going to do the Avodah. How can he do? Veleka, didn't you just say in the name of Shmuel that if you're not sure who the father is, you can't do any Avodah at all? So he would be disqualified to be the Kohen Gadol, because not Zarim Yuchas Acharav the Veleka. Everything was Zarim Yuchas Acharav the Rabban. Cross Machtabi Alma. That passage we brought, Zarim Acharav, is not really a Diraisa, it's really the Rabban. And the whole pasuk of the smacht is an smacht. But still, how can he do the avodah? Because the rabbanon is nus. When the chacham say we're not going to allow the person that's not miyuchas after a father, we don't know who the father is, if he was conceived in wedlock. This situation with the ten kahana, we don't know who was which kohen. If there was bona fide nisuin, even though the yibam should have waited until 3 months, maskit, they didn't wait, but it was kosher marriage. There's nothing, no isser involved. Therefore, like those Rabbanan, we're not Goyzer, and therefore this child could be either for the first Koyin, the other Koyin, everything is fine. Frank Timara, of his nose, me, Goyzer Rabbanan. You're telling me that we were Goyzer by his nose, but not. And now we get to our Mishnah. That's what we said in our Mishnah back on the Omer Aleph. Good. Zukimori, it's my Acher Balach. What does it mean for Los Shiloh Shoasa Acher Balach? She didn't wait for her husband. In other words, the marriage was severed, and she didn't wait after that first husband 3 months. What does that mean, Acherba? Oh, she didn't wait after the Bisa of the Baal. The husband died, she should have waited 3 months, and she didn't. Let's go to the Sefer. Who oinen alein, vehin oinen alof. He is oinen on them, meaning after one of the two, or both of them pass away, he is not allowed to do avoid the Beis Mikdash. The same thing applies, and they cannot do any avoid after on that day when he passes away. Even though we're talking about that the first father had already passed away, because that we're saying Acha Mises Bala, it could still be a case that he could be an oinen aleim. Here it says benisuin nisheni, or the Gemara says goydes benisas or benisosay shelsheni, felikat atzomis tekama. Meaning that there's a din of oinen not only when an immediate family member passes away, but even 50 years later, if they're being mavir atzomis, meaning they're transferring the remains from one cemetery to another cemetery, then on that day of likat atzomis, also there's a din of avelis or aninus, and so therefore I can understand what you mean that who oin aleim, even though the father died before he was born. Obviously, he died before his wife because I don't know which father it's from, and she remarried. So, if it's still not Misa Bala, we could find out a case of who oina le. Elheim oina olav hechi mishkachis la. Kama hamisle. Maybe the second could be an oinin for him, I can understand. But the first father is not going to be an oinin for him because the first father is going to be up in Shemayim, and he's going to be an oinin in Shemayim. He's not going to be able to do the avoid or eat kavanas, so that's kind of meaningless. So, that doesn't make sense. So Mustama, our mission is not talking about that the first husband died, but the first husband gave her a divorce, and she should have waited 3 months until she remarries to the other husband, but she didn't. It doesn't mean Acher Mis Bala, it means Acher Get Bala. So do you want to aim a Sefer? Let's see right to the Sefer. Who ain't Metam Lehem, they ain't Metam Lehem. Since they don't know who is the real father, even though, because they both happen to be Kehanim, ain't Metam Lehem, he cannot be Metamah to either of them if they were to pass away. Here, the first husband is still alive, so when he passes away, he should not be Metamah because it might not be his father. His father might be the second guy, and vice versa. They made a Metamah Loi, and they cannot be Metamah to him. So do I. Mishlam ain't Metamah Loi. You know why? L'chumra, cholchad v'chad, dilmalav reihu. I can understand they cannot be Metamah to him, because we don't know whether he's the son of father number one or of father number two. So they can't be metama. Elohu e metama lehem, am I? Why can't he be metama to them? Bishlam elishayim le metama lehem, can't be metama to the second one, I understand perfectly. Why not? Because it's his father and he's the son of Kenish. Elorishayim le metama lehem. There's no reason why he can't be metama to the first father. What do you mean? It's chakoyim. Because we're one of them. If he happens to be his son, that's fine. The son is allowed to be to his father. If he happens to be a son of the second husband, that he can be metame to the first husband, the chololu, because he's a cholol. Why is he a cholol? Because his mother was a grusha, and the father was a kohen. And a kohen marries a grusha, the child is a cholol. Cholol is like a Yisrael. So he can be metame manav shach to the first one. So therefore, says the Gemara, L'chayra our Mishnah on the Amud Aleph cannot be talking a situation where the first husband gave her a get, and not a situation where the first husband died. So what is it talking about? Elab is Nubus. She was born. The first husband wasn't the husband, but rather he was a Kohen, and he lived with a young lady, this Nubus. So similar to Shmuel's situation. And then ultimately, he left the scene, and now she went and married somebody else. He doesn't have to give her a kid. It was just znus, unfortunately. And therefore, he's now out of the picture. He's alive. No get. She now marries the second husband legitimately. And now, 9 months later, a baby is born. And I don't know if it's from the first husband. Not husband. The first
relationship.
Paramour, or whatever you want to call him. And the second one from the husband. Right? Is that the proper term? I'm not such an English expert like you. When it says in the Mishnah that Rishuasa Acher Bala means Acher Boy Allah, the one that Nebuch lived with her. Let's continue Sefer. He can go and do a, How can he do a voida? Ain't Zarim Yuchas Achrov. And here's a case that there was potential snus. that maybe the child was not born out of a kosher kiddushim, and then Shmuel said that the chomer goyzer biznus, not to allow the child to go and do avoida, and here Hamisha says you can do avoida. So the Gemara has now two potential answers. Potential number one, which the Gemara is going to reject out of hand. Omer Shmai, Bimama Enes. Ah, you know what it's talking about? That the first was a husband, but she was a ketana, and she was married off by her mother or an older brother, which is a kedushin rabbanan. And what's the halacha by kedushin rabbanan? A lady is allowed to be ma'enes until she becomes bat mitzvah. And if she says, "I no longer want to live with this husband," and the marriage is ended, she doesn't need a get. He doesn't have to die, and she just moves on to greener pastures. That's the din, because since this whole kedushin was kedushin derabanan, and they did it for her benefit, because she didn't want nebuch, she's a yisayma, that she didn't have a father, and we don't want her to drezach in the gas in the street. Therefore, we go and allow her to go and marry midrabanan. But since it's rabbanan, the same rabbanan said, if she says that this guy that you set me up with is a lousy guy, I'm not happy, before the age of 12, she can go and say, I'm out of here. Okay, so what happens if she said that she's out of here? And then, Baruch Hashem, within a month, she finds a new husband. Oh, what a doll, what a great guy, a sweetheart. And she marries that new husband. And then, Baruch Hashem, 9 months later, she has a baby. So it could be from the first husband, it could be from the second husband. And that's what our Mishnah is talking about. And therefore, there was no znus situation. And we have a situation where both fathers are still alive. So therefore, who oin alayim, oin al achrob. But since we don't know which is the father, he cannot be metamet to this one, he can't be metamet to that one. So therefore we answered all the questions, and since there was no znus involved over here, so even though I don't know which one it is, it's only drabbanan. The drabbanan said, Zar miyuchas achrab is only in a situation where there was a maises znus. There was no maises znus. So therefore our Mishnah says, you can do b'mishma shalzeh, mishma shalzeh. L'choyra, this is a beautiful answer, it all works perfectly. Frey timara, but there's only one fly in the ointment, and that is, could she become pregnant if she was only less than 12 years old? And if she cannot become pregnant, then this whole thing doesn't exist. And that's the Gemara Kasha.
Unless she would get pregnant at the cusp of becoming 12 right before she's Mavanis.
Apparently, you know, Yef Litzamsev. Says Imam Ma'anis, Mi Koyolda, Kimenet Bibiyal. Vatani Rabbini Kamenet Rab Nachman. Sholish Noshim Mishamshes B'moich. Three young ladies are allowed to go and put in a moich down below. Before Bia, is the Torah is back on Daf Yud Beis. It says not before Bia, but after Bia. What's the reason why? Because we don't want them to become pregnant. Who are those three women? A ketana, a muberes, and a minika. Ketana shebetisaber b'tomas. She becomes pregnant, she's going to die because her physical being is not strong enough to produce another child. Muberes shematiase ubresandal. If she's already muberes and then she goes and has new relations, then that might form a new child, and that new child is going to go and kvetch the old child. It's going to become like a flat sum. Maybe as a result of becoming pregnant during the period that she's a nursing mommy, the new pregnancy is going to draw away from the milk of the mommy, and then the yomus and the baby is going to die because the baby won't be able to nurse from the mommy. And as you know, you can't get formula anywhere in the country because of the government regulations that don't allow formula to nurse. Blah, blah, blah. Anyway, so be tzuris and the child will die. Zokti Mara, the Ezik Tana, how do you define the word Tana? From 11 till 12, that 1 year interval. She's less than 11. Oh yes, okay, Mishamesh Kedarka Vailacha, she can go and be Mishamish like normal. She does not need a moich, because if it's less than 11, she cannot become pregnant. And if she's more than 12, we assume that her pregnancy will be fine. Divrame. And all these three cases we do not give a heter of putting in a moch down below. Anyway, what the Gemara is saying is, therefore, that this young lady, if she's being mima'enes, by definition, she could not have become pregnant, because if she became pregnant, she would die. Tis abra v'tomas. That's a package deal. It goes together. And that being the case, Jokti Gemara said that you cannot say that that's the case of our mission, that she became a pregnant from the first husband, or maybe from the second. It must be from the second husband, because there's a boy that was born. He didn't die. She didn't die. So obviously, it must be the second husband. Can't be from the first. So, that being the case, that Terence doesn't work out either. So therefore, so they want to have the final teretz mishkaches lo b'kiddushei to'os. Rav Yehuda Mishmuel, Rav Yehuda Mishmuel, Shem Rav Mishmuel, Vilay Nispasa Asura, and Nispasa Mutaris. So before we go into the drasha, the Gemara is telling us is what happens if she married the first husband and they had relations, and there was a tanai in the marriage. And the tanai is, for instance, that she's going to go and give $1,000 to the husband within 1 week, and she did not give $1,000 to the husband. So the whole thing was a mistake. Since it was a mistake, it's batul mafrei. It's as if they were never married. But ma'isa, they lived together. So it wasn't in the form of znus. It was in the form of kiddushin. There was a holy matrimony with a ring and with edim and with the masada kiddushin and the whole nine yards. The only problem is that it all became annulled to mafreya because they weren't mekayim the tonight. And then what happened? After the kiddushin Torah, the husband says to the wife, you didn't give me $1,000, goodbye. But by that time, she was already pregnant. And now she goes and marries another husband within a month's time, 2 months' time. So now we have the shayla, is it l'rishon or l'achrei? Since it was b'derech kiddushin, not b'derech snus, halach of Shmuel doesn't apply. Since Baruch Hashem, both husbands are alive, so then subsequently, when one of them passes away, who oyin aleim, the hein oyin alav, he can go and do the avoid in the base of Midrash because his nose noose factor over here was all regular kiddushin. Said the Basvili and Spasa, that was the last week's parasha, parasha's Nosoi, that's the parasha of Vinzertayan and Reb Simcha. Vili and Spasa Asura, that if she was not forced into living with someone, then she's Asura. Now, on this Spasa, what happens if she was forced? Then Mutara, she's Mutara. The Yishlo Chacheres, however, since it says Vehi Loin Nispasa, Yishlo Chacheres is another lady. How would Yishlo Nispasa, even though she was not forced, she's Muteris. Well, how could that be? If she wasn't forced and she lived with somebody, they deserve to do she tos. Shafila Benov, Morkav Lal Ksefa. Me'enes Voylechis La, she only has to say the whole condition is a tos because he didn't fulfill the tonight, or she didn't fulfill the tonight. The word me'enes over here doesn't mean me. It means that she just walks the walk.
She opts out
because of the fact that he weren't Mekayim Dei. The tonight, Kedushin is over, and therefore she marries a second husband. Wait, don't marry a second husband for 3 months. But she didn't wait. That's the case of our Mishnah. Suffolk here, Suffolk there. As we said. Have a wonderful day, Rabbi Yisrael Zagiben Zadkis.
Based on what we were, did the Rabbanan only.